I pray that your Holy Spirit would just stir up in us something that that we need to hear, that we need to know, that we need to put into practice in our lives, that we would hear from you this morning. In amongst all the words that are going to be spoken, Lord, might something special be especially for all of us today. Something that'll be different for all of us, but Lord, we want to hear from you. So Lord, open our hearts and minds, quieten us down a little bit, help us to concentrate, and Lord, might your word go forward and accomplish the things that you want it to. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in a series titled, What on Earth Are We Here For? We've been doing that for a couple of weeks. This is our third week. We've got two more to go. And before I start, I just want to thank Theo for last week. We really appreciated sharing with us what the Lord's been doing in you and through you over those 6 months that you were away. Now, if you weren't at church last week, and it was pretty low numbers in the middle of the school holidays, so if you weren't here, Theo, you put that online? You did? Fantastic. So you can access that, and I would encourage you to do that. Well worth listening to, and see what the Lord's going to say to you through what Theo shared with us. Now, if you don't know how to access the sermons online, please talk to somebody younger than me. They will help you. They'll point you in the right direction, and maybe even talk to Theo. He knows exactly where it is and where you can find it. Okay. We've done a couple of messages in this series. What on earth are we here for? Who can tell me what the first two messages were? We had a little break. What was the first one? The second one? The first one was evangelism, helping people become Christians. We exist as a church to help people become Christians. What was the second one? Worship. We worship God because he's worth it. Okay, today we're thinking about discipleship. Gisborne Church of Christ exists to help Christians grow and become mature in their faith. Discipleship is helping Christians grow and become mature in our faith. And just as much as we exist to help people become Christians and to worship God because he's worth it, at the same time, with equal value, we are here to grow and mature in our faith. As a church, we are here to be a place that helps each other to grow and mature in our faith. Now this morning I just want to give you three things just to take away and to ponder and to chew over and to work through in the presence of God. Just three things that are going to help us to grow and mature in our faith. But there are a multitude of things. Multitude of things that will help you to do that. So it's not limited to three. If you do these three, you'll be fine. If you do these three, it will significantly help. But there are other things that I'm not going to mention today. Just for the sake of time. So just bear that in mind as well. So the first thing is that we're going to cultivate a closer relationship with Christ. To mature in our faith, we need to cultivate a closer relationship with Christ. Now John Stott, a quote from John Stott, he said, to be in Christ is to be organically united to Jesus Christ. So if to be a Christian is to be in Christ, related to Christ, to be a mature Christian is obviously to have a mature relationship with Christ, a relationship in which we trust him, which we worship him, and obey him. That's John Stott's sort of little definition. He used that little definition as he launched into a message on Christian maturity. So Christian faith is about a relationship with Jesus. We've often heard that thing, you know, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Well, that is absolutely correct. It's not about the things that we do and, you know, all the mechanisms of church life and Christian life. It's about, first and foremostly, a relationship with Jesus. And the more we foster that relationship, the more mature we become. The more we spend time with Jesus in relationship, the more we are walking and talking with Jesus, and I've just picked up that little phrase out of Genesis, Adam and Eve are in the garden, and they're walking and talking with Jesus. And I just love that picture. I love that picture of Adam and Eve in the garden because that is who we are meant to be. We're not in the garden anymore. That's all got a bit wobbly. But we are still supposed to be walking and talking with Jesus throughout our life. And as we do that, as we spend time, as we walk and talk with Jesus, as we cultivate the relationship, as we be together with Jesus, it draws us closer to him. And the old-fashioned disciplines are still valid. When I started out in ministry a long time ago, I was trying to remember how long that was ago, 35 years ago, or not quite. When I started out in ministry, life is so much different today than it was then. It is so much different. But 35 years ago, there were disciplines that we were encouraged to be part of our lives and to add into our lives so that we could mature and grow in our faith, and they haven't changed. The world around us has changed, but these disciplines haven't changed. So worship, prayer, and Bible reading hasn't changed. They are still vitally important to help us to grow in our relationship with Jesus, to grow and mature in our faith. See, worship, we talked about that at length last time I was at the front here, but worship realigns our universe. Worship sort of just puts things back into where they should be in our lives as we think about our life and who we are and what we do and our faith and all that sort of stuff. Worship puts all the attention on God. It realigns our universe. Instead of me being the Lord of my own universe, we're deliberately expressing to God that He is the Lord of the universe. And I fit under His authority. I fit under His guidance of my life. It's not me telling God what to do. It's me coming to Him and allowing Him to be the Lord over my life. That's what worship does for us. We do it on Sunday morning. We've done it already. It's about saying those things to God. We sing them out, saying to those things to God that He is the Lord of the universe and He is in His right place in my mind and my heart. So worship is really important. And when as we worship, we humble ourselves. We realign the universe. It's God first, and then I come under that. We humble ourselves under the greatness. We humble ourselves under the goodness, the holiness, the magnificence of an awesome God. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit is free to have His way in us. As we worship and we realign our thinking and our hearts, the Holy Spirit is free to have His way in us. Prayer is the other discipline. It's an opportunity to discuss faith with God, if you like. You know, we can talk to Him. It's the same relationship we have with any other person in the building, any other person in our lives. It's chatting, it's talking, it's considering, it's asking, it's Jesus, what are you doing? What do you want? What do you want of me? Thank you. It's all of those things. And as we spend time with Him, we give Jesus a chance to speak into our lives. We've realigned our thinking. He is the Lord of the universe. We spend time with Him so that He can speak into our lives. And again, when we do that, we give the Holy Spirit the chance to shape your thinking. As we spend time with Him, we give the Holy Spirit time to shape our thinking as He speaks into our minds. And Bible reading, 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." So if you want to know about Jesus, you go to the Bible. If you want to know about faith, you go to the Bible. So just a really brief thing on those three disciplines that are still vitally important. But as we do those things, you can do those things by yourself, and I would encourage you to do that. To worship by yourself, that's okay. To pray by yourself, to read the Bible by yourself. We've called those things over the years a quiet time, spending a bit of time just with Jesus to do those things. We might call it a daily devotion. You can call it whatever you like. But it's about those disciplines so that we can allow the Holy Spirit the freedom to move in our lives. So you can do them by yourself, but you should also be doing those things with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Hebrews 10:24-26, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, You have heard multiple times the don't neglect to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing. Pastors use that all the time. We throw that out just to encourage you to be at church. You've heard it over and over and over again. But it's not just a cold, hard habit of turning up to church. There's a reason that God has told us to not neglect to meet together. It's to spur one another on. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's why we gather together. It's to encourage one another. Don't neglect to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. So our meeting together actually does a little bit more than we think it does. Here's a thought. Did you realize that your attendance at church spurs somebody else on or encourages them in their faith? Did you know that? If you think the opposite and go the other way, did you know that you not being in church can just be a disappointment when other people turn up? That's worth thinking about, isn't it? My ministry leader's not here today. Why not? Wasn't here last week, wasn't here the week before. It becomes a disappointment to some people. Well, if that's the standard of my ministry leader, I guess that can be my standard. But you're being here and you're encouraging people, you don't even know it sometimes. We just are. The chat at the cup of tea or the cup of coffee at the end of the service, just having a little casual chat. How's your week been? You know, the question that sort of gets the conversation going. It just might be the encouragement that somebody needed to spur them on, to encourage them in their faith. All the research says, for many years now, if you want to grow deeper in your faith, then being part of a small group is really, really important. So on top of your own personal devotional time, on top of coming as often as you possibly can of a Sunday service, whether that's AM or PM when that's on, there is also the opportunity to be part of a small group. A small group of people who you know and you trust, and you know them and trust them enough to ask hard questions, because you don't get a chance on Sunday morning like this, do you? It's an opportunity to ask a few people, what do you think about this? It's an opportunity within the people that you know and you trust to admit failings. It's an opportunity to ask for help. It's an opportunity to pray for each other. It's an opportunity to serve each other. A small group to spiritual maturity is what compost is to a mushroom. Vroom. It just allows you to grow, to stimulate growth, and to grow a whole heap quicker than being by yourself and just coming to church. Being part of a small group will help that. So I want to ask you, how is your relationship with Jesus? How's your relationship with Jesus? Maybe after the service, Michael's going to come up, he's going to lead another song. Maybe at the end of that time, you might be thinking, I've got a bit of work to do. I've let things slip. I'm not in the place where I need to be. Maybe you might like to come for prayer at the end of the service, and there will be people who will be more than happy to pray for you. So cultivate a closer relationship with Christ. Secondly, cultivate a Christ-like character. Cultivate a Christ-like character. Now, I'm sure nobody here reads women's gossip magazines like the No Idea or the Women's Weekly. I'm sure nobody here would do that. I'm told, that sometimes there are questionnaires in those magazines. I'm told. And the questionnaires are, how popular are you? Well, you fill out the questionnaire and that'll tell you how popular you are. The questionnaire might be, how sexy are you? You fill out the questionnaire to see how sexy you are. Who is your ideal man? You fill out the questionnaire to work out who your ideal man is. And I found it really interesting when whenever Kath does the questionnaire about the ideal man, it's never me. It's never me. It's always, the description is just, it's somebody else. But anyway, that's why I don't let Kath read those magazines. There's a questionnaire in the Bible. There's a questionnaire in the Bible. It's found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. The questionnaire goes like this. As a child of God, how loving are you? We are cultivating Christ-like character. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is a description of the character of God. Description of the character of Jesus. How loving are you? How joyful are you? How peaceful are you? How patient are you? How kind are you? How good are you? How faithful are you? How gentle are you? How self-controlled are you? If we are going to grow and mature in our faith, surely it's about becoming more like Jesus. And if the fruit of the Spirit is a description of the character of God, the character of Jesus, and we're becoming more like Him, then these are the things that should be evident in our lives as we mature and as we, if we're going to consider ourselves mature. These are the things that should be part of our lives. So the questionnaire is, well, what am I like? What am I like with all of these things? Now, you might be able to go tick, 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 whoop, cross. Well, you've got a bit of work to do. You need to bring that before Jesus and say, hey, I'm failing in this area. This is not a strong part of my life. This is something that I would like to develop in my life so that I can be more like you. The Holy Spirit lives in us to do many things. And one of those things is to develop the character of God in our lives. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. And as the fruit of the Spirit develops in us, as it grows in us, as this becomes a natural part of who we are, as it grows, it dominates our lives. That's starting to become spiritual maturity. And as the fruit of the Spirit increases in our lives, our sinful human nature decreases. Because this is what dominates us. Nobody's perfect. Things happen, but that's not who we are. This is who we are. The fruit of the Spirit dominating our lives. That's a sign of Christian maturity. So how are we going? How are we going with that as we think through that list? As I read through that list, you know, boom, oh. What was the Holy Spirit saying to you? When you go home, I'd encourage you to read through it again. And in your quiet time, in your daily devotion, you might like to use that text through the week and just bring yourself before Jesus and say, where am I with this? So cultivate a closer relationship with Christ, cultivate a Christ-like character, and cultivate a Christ-like lifestyle. All of those things are going to flow into what we do and how we live our lives. When the apostles wrote to the churches around the world, which is our New Testament, the epistles, you know, that Peter wrote to and the Apostle Paul wrote to all those churches, by and large, he wrote to them to help them understand how to live as Christians. Other things, but by and large, he wrote those things to the Christians in those places to help them understand how to live like Christians. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We thought about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And Hebrews 12:1, it says, so we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go. And we must be determined to run the race that's ahead of us. Our faith impacts our lifestyle, and our lifestyle is an act of worship. Our faith impacts our lifestyle. Our faith impacts how we live our lives. Apart from what's happening here on Sunday morning, when we go out those doors, there's a whole different world out there. And our faith impacts how we live. And our lifestyle is an act of worship, according to Romans 12. And Christian maturity includes getting rid of the stuff that the Bible says should not be in our lives. And there's a lot of that stuff in the Bible. Stuff that's thou shalt not, in the old-fashioned wording. There's stuff in there that God is saying, this shouldn't be part of your life. And the Bible encourages us to replace it with the stuff that the Bible says should be in our lives. And just as the character of God goes up and our human sinful human nature goes down, as holiness goes up, our lifestyle of holiness and obedience and doing the things and saying the things and being the people that God wants us to be, as holiness goes up, sin goes down. That's what we're aiming at. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, the Message expresses it like this. So roll up your sleeves. Get your head in the game. Be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then. You do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy. You be holy. It's a pretty firm directive to us, isn't it? It's not be holy if you feel like it. Holiness, our lifestyle, it's minimizing the sin in our life and maximizing the holiness in our life. That's part of growing in our faith. Growing and maturing. Holiness isn't something that churches talk too much about anymore. But it is one of the markers of Christian maturity. And it's a call on our lives. More of Jesus in my heart and less of myself. More of Christ's character in my life and less of my human nature. More of a lifestyle pleasing to God and less of a lifestyle of disappointing Him. And maybe you should think about your life. Maybe you should think about who you are. Maybe you should think about the things that you do and the things that you say. When you leave here and you're going to be whoever you are when you leave here, is that pleasing to Jesus? Are the things that are normal in my life the things that He wants to be normal in my life? They're big questions, aren't they? They're questions that maybe we gloss over a little bit, but they're questions we need to ask ourselves. Christian maturity, you know, how do you define it? At what level is somebody mature or they're not mature? I don't think we can do that. But I think we can look at ourselves before the Word of God and say, Jesus, what needs to change? That's a big question, but it's an important question. We talked about a few weeks ago, we talked about helping people become Christians. And if our lifestyle doesn't match up to the words that we use, if we're telling people, hey, become a Christian, you need to become a Christian, all the blessings of becoming a Christian, if we're going to tell people that, but we're living a lifestyle that is not where we need to be, it disqualifies every word that comes out of our mouth when we talk about faith. Why should a person become a Christian if we're no different to them? Why would they bother? Why would they even think about that? Just if becoming a Christian means nothing changes in my life, well, I'm just happy to keep going the way I am. There's some important issues to Christian maturity. And I want to urge you. I just want to urge you again this week. I've suggested Galatians and reading through that and the checklist and seeing where we are. As you do that, Lord, help me to become more mature. And I would suggest, as I've got to know you in the church and as we understand who each other is in the church, I think we've got a pretty high level of maturity in the church. But this life is a preparation for eternity. Let's be a little bit closer to where we're going to be in eternity as we live this life, rather than sort of settling for just a low level. Near enough's good enough. We don't want that. How's your lifestyle going? As you think about what you say and what you do and how you act and how you react to different things, again, maybe you might like prayer at the end of the service. Prayer is available for anybody who just wants to come up and is just realizing that there's some things that need to be put in place. Maybe there's something in your life that's got nothing to do with what we've talked about this morning. You are welcome. You are welcome at the end of the service to come to the front, and as we sort of move on out and we head out to morning tea, you're welcome just to come to the front. And as I said, there are people who would delight in being able to pray for you. So Gisborne Church of Christ exists to help people become Christians, to worship God, and to help each other grow in our faith. And there's two more to come. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, as we think through this morning, help us as individuals to become more mature than we are at the minute. More mature in our relationship with you, in our character, and in our lifestyle. Lord, help us to reflect you in the way that we live, that we wouldn't disqualify the things that we say about you by the things that we do. Lord, help us to be a church that spurs one another on and encourages each other to be more like you. And Lord, I pray that as heaven looks down on us, as you look down on us, that you would be so pleased that we continue to move forward, allowing you to be all that you want to be in our midst, in our lives as individuals, in our small groups, in our bigger gathering. Lord, I pray that you would have a giant smile on your face as you think about Gisborne Church of Christ. And pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.